This morning, I want to just talk to you about a word that the Lord gave me as I were approaching 2022 last December. And in my prayer journal, I wrote this down. I really felt God was speaking to my heart about. And he said that I felt like God was saying to me, in the year 2022, I want you to be a seeker of the lost. And I said, well, Lord, you know that I seek the lost. You know that that's what I do, you know, as an evangelist and around the world. But he said, no, I want you to kind of really upgrade that, really kind of step up that up more. I said, okay, can you be, this is me talking to the Lord, can you be more specific? Lord, I mean, how would I do that? More time, more whatever? And he said, just be more aware of the circumstance of the people that I'm putting in front of you. Just work a little harder at trying to see them in their countenance and their eyes, or just to hear from him in terms of where they're at in their own journey, their own experience. I said, okay, I can do that. So we began, and I want to read the passage out of Luke 19, the first 10 verses there. It's a familiar story of Zacchaeus, where the Lord encountered Zacchaeus. Now, in the Gospels, the Gospels spend a lot of time showing us that Jesus himself spent a lot of time with one-on-one with individuals. Now, if I had been on the Lord's team, his vision leadership team, his disciples, and I knew, I believe he was the Messiah, I believe John 3:16, that his words that God has sent his son to save the world, that the world through him might be saved, and because he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved. And once I believed that, I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking in terms of world, right? Okay, world. Now, so Jesus, don't spend any time with one individual or a small group. As many people as possible all the time. I might have had a number. Don't talk to anybody if it's less than 200 people or whatever. And so my advice would have been that, right? It makes sense, right? There's only one Savior, and he was alone, and he's starting to get his guys together, men and women together, but it's the world. That was kind of be my focus. And the Lord then spends all this time with individuals. And it starts in John, you know, the woman at the well there, Nicodemus, and then the man at the pool who was lame. And there's just several instances where, and we learn a lot from them, where the Lord is dealing one-on-one. Aren't you glad that he found you? And I wasn't saving that of a herd, were you? No. Right? He comes and he customizes his concern for us. And he seeks us. And so I came to this passage here in Luke chapter 19. And you can follow along. I'm going to read it from my own Bible here. And then I want to talk about Jesus, who was the seeker, the ultimate seeker, the Savior seeker. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now let me just say, on verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho. He's coming from the north. And this is just within a couple of weeks of his death and his resurrection. So he's coming to Jerusalem to be crucified and then buried and raised from the dead. So that's where we're at in his life. So his 3 years of ministry have pretty much concluded. And he's coming down the Jordan Valley and on his way to Jerusalem. So you come down the Jordan Valley from the Galilee area, and you turn right, you turn west, and you go on the Jericho Road up to Jerusalem. And that's what he was doing. He was on his way to be crucified. And even though he was on his way to die for our sins, he still had time to talk to one more individual. I just love that. So here's Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector, and he sought, verse 3, to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He saw Zacchaeus and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they complained. He's gone to be the guest with a man who's a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord. By the way, there's a time cap here, right? Don't know how long, but it's been a while. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if we just look at this story in terms of Zacchaeus, we see he was lost, right? That's the term Jesus used. He came to seek and to save the lost. So Zacchaeus was lost. And in the terms of the people, especially the religious ones, he was a sinner. Now, there's two things you didn't want to be if you want to be popular. There's two things you didn't want to be in first century Israel. You didn't want to be a tax collector. And you didn't want to be a sinner. That is, a person who had no interest in going to the synagogue or the temple. There was no interest in spiritual things. And these would include just the average person, would certainly include prostitutes and that whole group. So here we have tax collectors and sinners. And he was a sinner, so they kind of lumped him there. Tax collector and sinner, he was both. And they were upset by the fact that Jesus went to spend time with him, but he was lost. And that's who Jesus came to save, right? He's seeking people just like this. And the religious crowd would never have done that. And so he comes down from the tree, and he's all happy, and I think he's mainly joyful because he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now he gets going to spend some one-on-one time with him in his own home. And also, how many invitations do you think, ever happened? How many people ever came to visit him? Probably none. So he's we can add lonely, I think, or separated or isolated to everything else is true about him. And so he was rich. And being a chief tax collector, he was very rich. And the chances of him falsely accusing someone in terms of, getting things falsely from them, pretty high, right? And so obviously there's a change that's happened here. Here's a man, you'd have to say, that served money, that served mammon. Or Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And here's a guy who obviously was serving mammon, and he was really good at it, hatefully so. And now he is obviously not. He's serving God. What happened? Well, he encountered Christ. So the Gospels are a lot about just people encountering Christ, and that's what we did, amen? We responded to the gospel. The gospel came to us as individuals. My father was a pastor, and I still need to get saved, right? No guarantee there. I was young when I got saved, but everybody in the house was happier with a saved Jimmy than the unsaved version. But he comes to seek and to save the lost. Now, let me just put that in some context of like our own experience. I got several stories along this line, but one that came to mind to share this morning was, and by the way, I don't think we need to change our address and personality or anything in order for us to seek the lost, to partner with Christ in seeking the lost. Because I think that you can imply in that verb, very active, strong word, isn't it? Seek, pursue. But it can almost sound like, okay, let's all get off our duffs and go out. You know, it's okay. Just stay on your duff for now. But it may be just the course of what you do. In the week, and in that context, you can seek, be aware of the lost. So let me give you a story. We were living in England as a part of our ministry with the mission agency we were part of, and we had moved to England in 1923. No, it was a long time ago. Something like 89, right, or 79. It was a long time ago. 89? So we moved there. I'm talking about when we, I don't know, second time. So anyway, if only I was here, I could tell you. No, we were there. So we were there, and we, in the process of going, we were setting up the headquarters, international headquarters for this mission that we are part of. And we were recruiting people to go as missionaries into the Muslim world and help find a UK director for this international mission. So we had all that going on. In the meantime, there had been a guy, a pastor who had and a regional director for churches with the Elam Pentecostal churches in the UK, who had been to Church on the Way for a pastor's conference and stayed with some friends of ours. And so they said, here, contact him when you get there. So we came there, and here's how the Lord was directing. He said, you know, Jim, can you help look out this little congregation for me down in Guildford? Would you do that for me? And I said, well, yeah, we can do that. So we pastored a church, in the UK. We co-pastored. Connie preached a lot because I was gone a lot, traveling for the mission. And we had got our visas, our regular residence visas, but they were renewed every year. So came time to renew, and we went to the proper place for that near us. And we came in, and they were like on number 220 or whatever. And our number was like 700 and something. It was a big building. So I asked the guy, do we have time to go get breakfast? And he says, you have time for breakfast and lunch. Oh, great. So we're sitting there. Finally, it was our turn. I got called up and gave our paperwork and our passports for ourselves and our daughters. And so he said, oh, you're a minister. I said, that's right. He said, well, I have a question. We have a question. So he said, hey, come here, everybody. I got a preacher. He can tell us what it means. So now this, like, I'm talking about hundreds of people there for their visa work, right, and whatever. And so he calls over. There's six of them then, and they're all young. And by young, I mean they were young. They're like 20s, late 20s, maybe early 30s. And so the six of them were kind of, you know, came up to the window and said, okay, you got to tell us what this means. Now, it was a year for the World Cup in soccer and football. He said, we've been watching on the World Cup, and there's this person that sits on the one end, and he's got the signs, John 3:16. What does that mean? Now, I want to say, you're joking, right? And they weren't. John 3:16. I said, I can explain that. So I quoted John 3:16. I said, it's in the Bible, something that Jesus said about himself and what God had done in sending him. So I quoted John 3:16, and I confess to you now, I cheated and put in verse 17 as well, right? So I read to them John 3:16, spoke at 3:16 and 17. And the one of the gals says, I knew it. My grandmother took me to church. When I remember, I knew that was a Bible verse. Good, that's the most contact any of them had. So I explained what it meant and you know, what happened, why that's important and how it could apply to anybody today even. And one of them says, well, why do you suppose anybody would do that? And I said, because I think one of the reasons is they thought that conversations like these might happen. And they like that. And so they all went back to their work and I was told to go sit down, so I did, and I got called back, and here's the visas. They offered to fast-track us for a permanent residence visa. I go, okay, that's cool. I mean, and then he says to me, are you following this football? Because, you know, I've been the sign about John 3:16. I said, yeah, a little bit. He said, well, there's this English player that had been injured, and it made the tabloids that he had pursued a sorcerer. He went to somebody to get, you know, for healing through black magic and that. And he says, what do you think of that? So I told him. And I said, but Jesus is a healer. Jesus, his ministry came to save the world. But in that process, a lot of people were healed. And he said, well, okay. He said, well, you know, I'm facing surgery next week on my knee. Would you, hurting as an injury, would you pray for me? I said, we will. So I'll tell you what. You're not allowed to know their names or anything. He had all my information, and I invited him to kind of follow through if he wanted to come on down and visit us in our church. But I said, yeah, I'll have the church pray for you on Sunday. But we can pray now. So look at all that. Now, you know, you get back and I'm sitting down and processing this, and I'm thinking, Jesus is looking for them, right? That's a pure sign, a clear sign that the Lord is seeking. And brother and sister, I believe that he's still doing that today everywhere. And again, all I was doing was what I had to do to get my visa. I was minding my own business. How could you possibly make that happen on your own? That's a clear indication to me that Jesus was after them. And out of the six, only one of them even knew it was a scripture verse. And that was from a distant memory as a child. So he has come to seek and to save the lost. Now, so I was armed with my thing about being a seeker. Now we're going to fast forward to current time pretty much. So I was in Croatia, in Bosnia, in March. I'd gone in August, amidst all these restrictions and everything, but in March, they were all kind of gone. In fact, the only thing I really had to do was get a COVID test before I came back to my own country. Everybody else was all clear, my dear, you know what I mean? So I was, I went, and it's been set up for a long time. I'd spoken at a church in August. This is kind of a report I want to give you about the trip, okay? So I was all set, and I was going to speak at that same church. And it was all. And so I went in March because he said, that's a good time to come, and I'll set up other places for you to be. I said, good. Then there was another individual that I'd known about for many years who had a ministry, and he was saved, or there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a revival back when the Yugoslavia was falling apart in 91, 92. And he came to Christ during that time. God spoke to him about being a part of his army, as it were, following him. And he had this house church movement, and he was a pastor. Now he's also a lawyer. He's early 50s now. But I read this story in a Christianity Today article, and I've been praying for him since 2012. And so I asked these people, do you know who this guy is, this church where I spoke? They said, yes, we work with him on some outreach projects. So the second half of my trip was going to be with him. And so the pastor in this one church in Zagreb, the capital, was setting things up. And then this other guy was setting things up. Yasmin was setting things up another part of the country. All set, right? So I'm on my way, and I get this email from the pastor saying, well, you know, when you come, I've given your information to some other pastor, and maybe we could do lunch. I go, what? You know? So the Lord, if I heard you right, is this from you? I mean, I raised money for this trip, and here I am. I mean, I don't want to, really? How can you do this? I have no idea why the guy did that. But in any event, I was staying with his family, and they have four daughters, and I had gotten close to them because the wife, the mom, was my interpreter in August. So I stayed with them, and they were shocked that it happened. So we sat there, and we said, well, look, let's don't get mad at Mario. Let's try to see what the Lord is wanting to do instead. So the whole Ukrainian war had started, Israel against Ukraine, and there were Ukrainian families too in the church that, and this is, it was incredible to hear this, that they were, every day they were calling their relatives in Ukraine saying, are you alive? Are you alive? And in the following, and this is toward the end of the, well, it's in the first week, so I'm still going to be there another 17 or 18 days. In that, and so I said, listen, can we get together with them and pray? So we had a prayer meeting in their home for Ukraine and for the Ukrainian families. There were actually three families that came, and we prayed for them and for Ukraine and for their families. And at the time before I came home, 17 of their family members were able to get out of Ukraine and come to Croatia. So that was really cool. So that time then was just getting close to the family, praying with her, and she's, especially the mom, who the wife, who's wants to have Bible studies in her home, and I encouraged her to find out what the Lord was saying to her in terms of seeking the lost. So she's starting a Bible study in the little village that she lives in. And so it's all that, you can just see all that sprouting out of that, you know, and especially the touch we had with the Ukrainian believers there. Then I went down to Bosnia for a few days and ministered down there, came back up to Zagreb for my time with Yasmin, and looking forward to that. So we talked to each other on the phone on Saturday morning. He goes, yeah, I'm playing football with some of the young guys, because he works down at a university with the Alpha program, Alpha course, and so he's working with that on campus, and so he's got these young guys, and he said, I'm playing football with them, and I'll call you when I get back in the afternoon, and so we can set up our dinner tonight and then go forward for the next 10 days. I get this call from him, and he says, hey, Jim, I'm on my way to the hospital. Yeah, I said, well, why is that? And he had torn his Achilles heel. He just tore the tendon, completely separated the tendon. And he was in a lot of pain, and he actually was calling me from the ambulance to go to the hospital for his surgery. So, wow. So there goes that night, and there goes the rest of my time. So I'm sitting there in my hotel room. I got 10 days, and I had stuff to do. I could study. I was doing some videos that I was doing on YouTube. And but that wasn't enough. I said, Lord, what does this mean? You know. And the Lord just brought that back to mind. Okay, this is a year you're supposed to be seeking. Okay, seek the Lord. Step that up. Okay. So I'd been there in March, and you know, I, even though I'm quiet and introverted and reserved, I'm sorry, but I just crash into people's lives, kind of, and I just thought, and but it's for Jesus. I just thought, yeah, the Lord just said, so go do it. So this is your where you are. You're in this hotel. Start there. So I did, and there was a guy, Rovia, and his partner, a guy that worked with him, a girl that worked with him, Anna. So I when I felt the Lord said that, I went downstairs. I had my business card, had my name on it, and I thought, I'm going to go down there, and what will I do? Well, I'll invite him to go to YouTube to look at my films, my videos. So I went down, they were working, I said, hi. And actually, I went to him, I didn't really know her that well, and said, listen, I was just wondering if you'd like to kind of look at some videos that I'm recording. Now, they're all Catholic background. By the way, by the end of this, there were 16 of them, 15 in the hotel, and one at this bakery down the street. It was just a bakery. It was good, really good. I went by. I was out on a walk one day, and I'm going like, well, I can stop there. And the next time I went, that's as far as I got, just to the bakery. So they're all Catholic background. None of them are practicing. None of them are going to a mass or in any way practicing their faith. And one of them is out of the 15, one of the 16 is she told me she was an agnostic. So I had one agnostic, 15, but they're all former Catholics, or presently Catholics, but not doing anything about it. So he goes, yeah. He says, were you on Facebook? I said, yes. He goes, what's your name? James Carl Kingsbury. He pulls it up. Is that you? I said, that's me. And Anna goes, well, can I do it too? Can you? Sure. So then I got two for the price of one there, right? I got both of them now. And we are now friends on Facebook. And I just got Rovi and his wife just are there on vacation in Slovenia. And they just sent me, I saw them on Facebook and I responded and he responded back. I was just saying, hey, have a good holiday in Slovenia and that kind of thing. So there's a conversation that's going. And with all my heart, I know that the Lord is seeking them. And just put me in a place to where I would be a part of that. Then I started going to everybody else. So there's this Tatiana who works in the kitchen, in the restaurant upstairs. And I, rarely miss a meal. So I was up there. I saw her a lot and others that are there. And her mother is in near Ukraine, and she couldn't get her medication for her diabetes. So we prayed that God would do that, and he did. And I just started, interacting with her. Her husband, she is not Croatian, but her husband is. In any event, she spent 10 years in the Emirates in Dubai. Well, I've been to Dubai, so we started talking about places we like in Dubai, and that kind of was connecting us, And then there's another guy from Nepal who's the egg man, the cook, and I got involved with him, and he's got my information, and I need to get back to them, but it just starts building like that. There's three of them now that I'm connected with on Facebook. But especially with the one guy, Rovia. I'm just, can you see that? I just, who else is speaking into their lives? They have no interest in spiritual things. That's a totally secular, nominal Catholic country in general. The evangelical church is very small. And plus, I believe that Croatia is positioned to reach the area. Because they're Southeast Europe, I think there's a lot that they can do for the region. I don't think the Evangelical Pentecostal Church is going to be able to cover it all. I think that we need to see Catholics really become born again and filled with the Spirit, and they are the ones, I think, that can take the gospel to their region. So I believe the Lord is still seeking the lost, and I'm just grateful that it turned out that way. And I have the 16 names. I pray for them almost daily, and I believe the Lord is starting to work in their lives. I got to get back, if for another reason, just to kind of encourage them. It's a good hotel, too, for that matter. But, I'm grateful to the Lord for that. Now, this next trip that's coming up, I think it's going to be a little more, I think it's going to pretty much stick to the script, if you will. I'm going to Indonesia, and so on Tuesday, from down, I'm flying from Los Angeles this next Tuesday, 2 days from now. I'm flying to Singapore and then taking the sea ferry over to Indonesia. I haven't been able to get to Indonesia in 2.5 years. So if you wouldn't mind praying for that, I pray for that trip. I'm going to be 3 weeks in Indonesia, and I'm actually going on Singapore Airlines, so I'm flying from San Francisco nonstop to Singapore, 16 hours and 40 minutes. What do you think? Want to go with me? I've never been on a plane that long, but I think I know how I'm going to negotiate all that whole thing. So I'm going to be with three of the pastors that I've been working with now for 16 years and seeing their ministries develop. I see their families have grown, and I'm just excited about being with those three brothers, and two of them are my major interpreters whenever I go to Indonesia. So I'm grateful to the Lord for that reunion that's going to take place starting Thursday of this week, next week, this week. And then Connie is going to drive back because we drove with our daughter back to Phoenix on the 25th. So that's what's coming up. I sure appreciate prayer for that. Plus, this one guy said, look, Pastor James, you can't just be with us. We love you, but I have two other islands I want you to go to. So now I'm going to be in three new churches on two different islands. You know, and those seafarers in Indonesia are not my favorite thing. You know, they don't sink, I think. But anyway, okay, we can do a new thing. So I just wonder what the Lord has in there. And I do know this, that there are people that the Lord is seeking, and I want to be a part of that. Now look, church, all of us, unless we're living in a cave by ourselves, and since you're here, I'm assuming that's not the case for you, then, you know, and without doing much different, really, than just to be aware of the people, what's going on, the lives that care about what's going on in the lives of people that you see, and figure, like, maybe I can interact in some way with that person and believe that they're in my life today in whatever context because the Lord is seeking them, because that's what he does. Amen? So let's be seekers. What do you think? You know, honestly, it would be kind of cool to check back in a few days or a couple of weeks and just see what happens. All I know is that I just think if we're willing, and if we're breathing, it can happen. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for the fact that you've sent your son, that he has come to seek and to save the lost. Lord, you found all of us. You found all of us, Lord, in our various places and situations. And Lord, I just know that you are continuing to do that. And Jesus, you are the Savior and you are the seeker. And so we ask, Lord, that you give us the privilege, the honor of partnering with you in our own part of the world as you continue to touch people one-on-one. We ask these things in your name. Amen.